My dearly beloved in Christ, today, April 28th, is the feast of St. Louis Marie de Montfort, who passed away on this day in the year 1716 after a relatively short lifespan of 43 years. He was a priest for 16 years. St. Louis was ordained in the year 1700 and again died in 1716. And yet this wonderful saint accomplished a marvelous amount of work for God and for the good of souls in that short priesthood of 16 years. He wrote a number of books, such as The Secret of the Rosary, wonderful book on the Rosary, also the book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, his book on total consecration to Mary, as well as a number of other shorter works and several other books. St. Louis was born in 1673 in France in a very large family. And if memory serves me, I believe there were 18 children in the family. And he wanted to be a priest at a young age. He went to seminary. But because he was from a poor family and they could not afford the tuition, he had to work to put himself through the seminary. And one of the jobs he had was to work in the library, take care of the library, and this put him in a position to read a lot of the books in the library. He became very familiar with what all the spiritual writers had said, particularly about devotion to our Blessed Mother. So if you read the book True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he is quoting various things on Our Lady from the doctors of the church, the fathers of the church, from more recent spiritual authors. And he points out how this consecration to our Blessed Mother that he promotes, the total consecration or perfect consecration to Mary, was not something new that he made up, but had been practiced for hundreds of years. He is the one, rather, who systematized it, we might say, and wrote a book explaining all the benefits and all of the theological principles upon which this devotion to our Blessed Mother is based. After he was ordained, he was a chaplain for, I believe, 5 years, maybe a little longer, for a hospital or a poorhouse. And he organized the nurses, the women who worked there, into the nucleus of what became a congregation of sisters, the Daughters of Wisdom, Daughters of Divine Wisdom. But because of opposition, he had many enemies. Many people opposed him because of his methods, because of his piety, his extraordinary love for our Blessed Mother, that excited envy, and it excited opposition. One of the reasons he had so much opposition was because of the heresy of Jansenism. And even though Jansenism had been condemned, it still lingered on in the practices of the faithful. It had infected the clergy and the laity. And people looked down upon his methods of having public processions to honor our Blessed Mother and his various practices of devotion. So because of this opposition, he decided to go to Rome to ask the Pope what he should do. He walked to Rome from France on foot and back and laid his case before the Pope. Pope Clement XI, recognizing in him an extraordinary priest, made him what was called an apostolic missionary for France, meaning he had permission of the Pope to travel all over the country and spread the faith, but the Pope said, you must always submit to the local bishops. So he wasn't attached to any diocese, he was to travel around, but he had to have the approval of the local bishop of each diocese, and some bishops would not give him permission. Nevertheless, there were many who wanted this holy priest, this zealous priest in their diocese. So he traveled around, particularly in western France, in Brittany and the Vendée, preached what are known as parish missions. And everywhere he went, there were marvelous results of sinners returning to the faith, individuals giving up sinful practices and returning to the practice of their faith. The devotion to our Blessed Mother would grow. One of the things he would do is to have a bonfire and have people bring, if they had any forbidden works, forbidden books, bring them together and burn them. He also, as I said, had public processions, and he himself wrote a number of hymns to our Blessed Mother. But wherever he preached, there were incredible results, so much so that it was said that you could still tell the parishes where he had given a mission 100 years later, meaning that the effect of his preaching affected the people who taught their children, and they taught their children, and it was passed down for generations. So 100 years later, the effects of his parish missions were still apparent in those places where he preached. But as I said, he was constantly pursued by enemies who tried to destroy his work and undermine what he was doing. One interesting situation was a parish mission in which the pastor of the parish didn't like him. And not only didn't like him, but had been told lies about him that caused him to question whether he should have allowed him to preach in his parish, but he'd already given permission. So on the first day of the mission, the pastor got up in the pulpit and said, "This priest, Father de Montfort, is going to give you a parish mission, but I think you might as well go home and not listen to him. He's a little strange, and I don't agree with him." And he went on to undermine him and denounced him and told the people that they would be better off just going home. And then he got out of the pulpit and left. What was St. Louis to do? He knelt down and gave thanks to God. He sung the hymn that we call the Te Deum, which is the church's official prayer of thanksgiving. You think, well, why is he thanking God? He thanked God for the cross and then proceeded to give the mission. And the people didn't go home. They wanted to stay at least to hear the first sermon to find out what this priest was all about. And they were drawn in by his preaching, and it was one of his most successful parish missions ever, because it began with the cross. And so he had constant crosses throughout his short life. He was even poisoned, which didn't quite kill him, but he was very ill for a while, and he never completely recovered, and that led to an early death at the age of 43. As I said, wherever he traveled, he promoted the rosary. And he wrote a book that is the best I have ever read on the rosary, called The Secret of the Rosary. He is called the Apostle of the Rosary because of this devotion that he promoted. Now, we recall in our own times, early 20th century, Our Lady appearing at Fatima, and every time she appeared, she asked for the daily recitation of the rosary. So obviously it is a prayer very pleasing to Almighty God, and St. Louis recognized that back 300 some years ago, and very much promoted the recitation of the rosary. As I mentioned, he also promoted devotion to our Blessed Mother and complete consecration of oneself to Our Lady. This is a very important consecration because we live in a time when we need special graces to persevere. And it is very interesting that as I have traveled and met people who have had the grace to understand what has happened in the church, the great apostasy, to recognize the truth, and I begin talking to them, I always find two things. One, that they prayed the rosary and then began to have questions and they came to a knowledge of the truth. Another one that maybe isn't always present, but very often, they came upon the book on true devotion to our Blessed Mother, they read it, and then they made that consecration to Our Lady. Now, it is a consecration that isn't just made and forgotten about. It has to be lived. And that, for that reason, you must understand exactly what he means by it. So there's not only the main book on true devotion, but there's also a smaller one called The Secret of Mary. And in that book, St. Louis says, this consecration to Our Lady, this one of completely giving oneself to Jesus through Mary, a perfect renewal of one's baptismal promises through the hands of our Blessed Mother, he says, this is like a secret. Don't just tell everybody, because it must be cherished by those who receive it. And it is a grace to know about this consecration. But it must not just be made, it must above all be lived. To become truly a child of our Blessed Mother, a slave of our Blessed Mother, and to honor her and love her. True devotion is primarily interior. It comes from the heart. It's not, some people make it and they think it's just doing some external things. Those are good if they proceed from an interior love of our Blessed Mother. But the heart and soul of total consecration to Mary, to Jesus through Mary, is the interior part. So, as I said, he was known for preaching the rosary, for the total consecration, and what I already mentioned, for the cross. His love for the cross, his embracing of the cross. And once, he was going to give a mission in a diocese, and word came to him that he was forbidden to preach in that diocese. Word from the bishop. Now again, the Pope told him, you can go anywhere, but you have to obey the local bishops. And he always did perfectly. So now, what is he going to do? He had already carved out this section of time in his schedule, his very busy schedule. He had made the trip, and now he's forbidden to preach. So he went and made a retreat. And during the retreat, he wrote a letter to the people who wanted to come to the mission. And that is called A Letter to the Friends of the Cross. It's a small booklet, the most beautiful thing you will ever find, on the value of the cross and carrying the cross with patience, not complaining, embracing it in imitation of our Lord who died for us on the cross. And just think about this. Had he not been forbidden to preach that mission and had gone ahead to preach it, we today, 300 years later, would not have that beautiful booklet, the letter to the Friends of the Cross. So you see, God works good things out of the opposition that may come in our way. On one occasion, he had organized the people to build a Calvary scene. This is something they did back in those days. Where there was a hill, they would put a Calvary scene on the top, a shrine, and people would go there, and it was a common thing that was done. So they had prepared this beautiful Calvary scene at great effort, and when it was the day before it was to be blessed, publicly blessed, word came that the bishop had been, you know, that the Jansenists had gotten to the bishop, turned him against St. Louis, so he sent word, it is not to be blessed. The blessing is not to be done, tear it down. What was St. Louis to do? The evening before, he walked all night to the bishop's house from where he was. Took him like 5 or 6 hours to walk in the rain, nighttime. Got there to explain to the bishop the truth and to answer the charges. But the bishop insisted it's not to be blessed. Then he walked all the way back and got there just in time when it was to be blessed. And he said to the people, there will be no blessing. The bishop said no. And people saying, but he's been, lies have been told about you. The bishop has been misled and so on and so forth. And he said, it's God's will. He recognized it as God's will. And he always humbly submitted to authority, even though he was being slandered and so forth. So St. Louis is an extraordinary saint, but he helps us to understand the value of patience in bearing our crosses and the importance of our devotion to our Blessed Mother, a love for our Blessed Mother. This, really, the most important book he wrote, the book called True Devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary, he says right in that book, he said, I clearly foresee that raging beasts will try to tear it in pieces, or at least to smother it in the silence of a chest, so that it will not appear. Well, due to the French Revolution in the latter part of the 18th century, and I don't know what other problems between the time of his death and the French Revolution, it was put into a chest. And there it was at the bottom of a chest and was discovered about 125 years later. A priest in the mother house of this religious congregation of priests that he founded, the Montfort Fathers, one of the priests was going through things in the attic, and he found this old chest, and he opened it up and going through it, and he saw this manuscript, and he looked at it, and he recognized the writing of St. Louis Marie de Montfort. So the book had been written and never published, and it was sent to Rome. It was examined in the process of the canonization process and, of course, approved, and so it didn't appear until the 1840s, well over 100 years later. And St. Louis had foreseen that and prophesied that that would be the case. So it is, you might say, a gift that God has given to us in our times, this knowledge of this true devotion, of this practice of consecration to our Blessed Mother. St. Louis was only canonized by Pope Pius XII in 1947, so a fairly recent canonized saint, but one that we should honor and pray to help us to love our Blessed Mother, for she is the means. She who is the mediatrix of all graces is the means of us obtaining the graces that we need to persevere in this age in which we live. Let us pray our rosaries faithfully every day and devoutly. Let us consecrate ourselves to our Blessed Mother and carry our crosses to live our faith in imitation of this wonderful saint. St. Louis Marie de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.